This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities.
Embrace your possibilities.
Possibilities.
Hello, this is Andrew Jobling. Welcome to the Wellness Puzzle Podcast for another week. Awesome week, in fact, as I speak to Cam F. Awesome. Yep, that's his name. This is actually his legal name. So before you judge him for that name, you need to listen to this podcast. This man is truly awesome. He has got an incredible background as an international boxer. He's an Olympian. He's won many, many national titles in the US. Over 400 wins as a heavyweight boxer, which is incredibly impressive. Now, he is a speaker. He goes into schools and corporates and uses humor and his life experiences, obviously with boxing and the ups and downs, the highs and lows, to inspire people from every age to help them flip the narrative, help them get out of their own way, help them believe more in themselves, help them go on and live their best life. This is an incredible conversation. Enjoy this chat with Cam F. Awesome. I'm excited to go toe-to-toe with the wonderful Cam F. Awesome. G'day, Cam.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Oh, pleasure. I love the fact that I'm sitting at the butt end of the world in Australia, in Melbourne, and you're in Kansas City in the US. Pretty cool, isn't it, that we can have this conversation? You're in my yesterday and I'm in your tomorrow.
You're in my future.
Yeah, it's looking good. All's looking good for you. Yeah. Do you want the lotto numbers?
Oh, please, please. Wait.
Awesome, mate. I'll get them for you and I'll send them to you. Thank you so much for some time, Cam. I'm really excited to have this conversation because you have done so much, haven't you? You've had some experiences in your life.
I've made a lot of mistakes. I'll say that.
Oh, who hasn't?
Yeah. And through all those mistakes, you gain experience. That's kind of how I live my life.
I'm sure you've done a lot of interviews. You've done a lot of podcasts and interviews on radio and TV based on your very successful boxing career and then what's come of it. I'm sure you've done a lot of stuff. And the question that I'm sure everyone's asking is Cam F. Awesome. Tell us about the name, because I know I've asked you about this before and I loved your answer, but I think it could very easily be construed as this guy's got a bit of a big head. He's a little bit arrogant because he's calling himself awesome. Tell us the reasoning behind the name, mate, because I love it.
So the reason behind awesome. So there's a myriad of reasons why I changed it to awesome. One of the reasons would be, one, I think I'm awesome.
Yes, good.
Two, no one's going to believe in me until I believe in myself.
Yeah, love that.
In 2012, I was suspended and kicked off the Olympic team for paperwork failure for a drug test. I left the country to find a tournament. Tournament you get drug tested to fight in, but I left the country. They showed up to give me a random drug test in my home. I wasn't there. Missed drug test, the positive drug test. I was kicked off the Olympic team.
Oh, wow.
I got the minimum 1 year suspension because there was no suspicion that I actually was doing anything. But during that year, I went from going to the Olympics to not going to the Olympics. You know, if you can imagine, you go to the store, everyone's like, oh man, are you ready for the Olympics? I'm like, yeah, I'm in the newspaper, I'm on TV. People in my neighborhood know I'm going to the Olympics. And then when I get kicked off the Olympic team for that technical reason, well, the headlines read, Cam, I failed to meet drug test requirements. If you read the article, you see clearly, but no one reads that.
They just look at the headline, don't they, and think drugs and Cam, and they associate with, that's the problem with news, isn't it?
And I felt like I let down my friends, my family, my fans, my country.
Yep.
And I was depressed. I was sad. I was hard on myself. And I wanted to get back into boxing. And I would work out for a couple of days and I would stop. And I would work out for a couple of days. I gained 70 pounds during my 1 year off. And I couldn't get myself back into the gym. When I first started boxing, my boxing gym was 6 miles away from my high school. I was 16, 17 years old, and I would have to walk 6 miles to the boxing gym every day. And this is back in the day before we had music on our phones. We had MP3 players. And I didn't always have the money for batteries, so I didn't have music. I would just have to make up stories in my head for this 3-hour walk.
Wow.
And I would come up with stories about me winning in boxing. I was beating everyone up. I was winning all the time. I was a champion. People were afraid to fight me. I had all the money. None of this was true. But if I'm going to be the author of a story, I'm going to be the protagonist.
Story's got to start in your head, doesn't it? Or else it's going to go nowhere.
Yeah. I did this 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. For 15 hours a day, I was patting myself on the back. I went from being the 16-year-old unconfident guy to this super cocky, almost arrogant dude because I believed in myself.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, the pendulum swung a little bit too much. I got a little bit cocky. And in 2012, I was fed humble pie. And I got knocked off my high horse. And I was trying to get back into the gym and I couldn't. And I was beating myself and I was so mad at myself. And I realized how mad I was at myself. And I thought about the difference between me in 2012 and me that walked to the gym every day.
Yep.
One of us liked me. And it made me look at the way I looked at myself. Andrew, think about how you talk to yourself. Do you have children?
No, I don't.
Okay. I like to ask people, would you allow your child to speak to you the way you speak to yourself?
Exactly. And if you spoke to your friends the way we often speak to ourselves, you'd be very lonely.
Yeah. But yet we speak to ourselves that way. So Andrew, you don't have children, but and neither do I, but there are people who they look at their children in their eyes, right? They're 4 or 5 year old and they say, you can be anything you want to be in this world. And you believe it to be true. You know in your heart, if this kid believes in himself, he or she can achieve anything. Andrew, what would it look like if they actually believed that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things that I'm playing with, this concept, and I don't want anyone to agree with me. That's my goal of sharing this. I don't want you to agree with me. If you agree with me, this is just me preaching. I want to challenge the way you're thinking. Okay, Andrew?
Please, we all need to be challenged.
So, do you have your phone on you?
I do, always. Okay, you can't go anywhere without it.
Perfect. Now, this is the dilemma I was facing in 2012. Can you look up the word, the definition, humble?
I can. You'll have to keep chatting, mate, while I'm doing it.
Now, look that up for me. And in 2012, I came to this realization about the way I think about the way I think.
Yep.
So read me the first definition.
Having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's importance.
Andrew, question. Does this sound like a positive trait?
No, it doesn't sound positive at all.
Maybe that's just a fluke. Read me the second definition.
The second definition says of low social, administrative, or political rank.
Andrew, does that sound positive?
No, it doesn't.
Why would you wish humbleness on anyone?
Yeah.
Would you wish this on your child? And if you would not wish humbleness on your child, why would you wish that on yourself? And of course, Andrew, I want to take a second to respect everyone's belief.
Yep.
Because the idea of being humble in the eye of the Lord, I understand that's very important to some people.
Yes.
But Andrew, last time I checked, you weren't the Lord.
Yep.
There's no need for me to be humble around you. Now, the whole idea of being humble, if you could think about it, if words are powerful, the idea of being humble is being small. The root word is lowly.
Yes.
Now, with that being the thought, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Correct?
Correct.
Why would you ever think you couldn't?
I still try and work that out every single day. Why I and why others, same thing. Because it's just as easy to think you can as it is to think you can't.
Well, here's why. Because it's obnoxious. Andrew, it's obnoxious. Now, here's the idea of awesome. I think I'm awesome. I'm up here. If you don't think you're awesome, you think you're here. A lot of us, what we do is we lower ourselves down so we don't make other people feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
We don't celebrate our wins around them because we don't want to make them uncomfortable. We make ourselves smaller for other people.
Yep.
What I'm thinking is, no, there's enough awesome for everyone. You come up here and meet me.
Absolutely. Love that. And isn't it interesting how you can look at this is why this is such an important conversation, because you look at the name Cam F. Awesome. And I think most people would go, oh, this guy is going to be full of himself. That would be a normal perception, I would imagine. He should be more humble. And we think humble is a good trait. But what you've just explained to us is you flipped that. And I love it. You've flipped the whole paradigm around awesome and humility. Humility is not where we want to be. Awesome is where we want to be. Well, I think everyone on the planet, everyone listening to this, you need to go and change your surname to Awesome and we'll be one big happy family.
I wouldn't go that far.
We'll all be one big happy family. I'll be Andrew Awesome and Cam, my brother.
Andrew Awesome. I love the alliteration. So, Andrew, I do want to touch on some things. Now, this idea is, the idea of humility is fundamental to a lot of people's beliefs. That's why I started this by saying, I don't want you to agree with me. I just want to challenge the way you're thinking.
Yep.
But if there was an invisible string that was holding you back, could it be the one thing that once you hear it, your mind immediately rejects it? Because if you rejected this idea off the bat, it might have stung a little bit. And I don't want to challenge anyone's beliefs. But what I do is I want to challenge the way you believe.
Well, you do.
I want people
really
to start believing in themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. When I mention this, people say, well, being humble doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It just means thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
And then the question I ask is, Andrew, who does being humble serve?
Do you want me to answer that? Because I can't answer that. And I don't think it serves anyone, really, when you think about it. Because, again, what you're saying is, as awesome, you want people to come up and meet you where you're at. And people aren't going to come up to a level of awesomeness if you lower yourself to a level of humility. Therefore, humility doesn't serve us.
And I'll go one step further. My last name's Awesome, but I'm not always awesome. I need other people to lift me up as well.
Yeah.
But you can't lift me up if you're down here when I'm down here.
No, that's true. That's so good. Hold the thought, Cam, because we're going to have a break. We've really started this podcast strong. You've come out in the first round and you've done incredibly well. Love the boxing metaphors. I'm sorry about that. You probably hear it
I love them so much.
And you're probably bored.
I love puns. I love puns and I love metaphors. All puns should be intended.
Exactly. Absolutely. Love it. Mate, let's have a quick break and we'll be back shortly.
The shedding of tears after a significant achievement, a meaningful moment or purposeful pursuit is an indication of the powerful emotional joy we all strive for in our lives. What if there was a process for personal transformation that could lead to regular tears of joy moments? In Tears of Joy, Andrew Jobling provides the simple steps that will predictably lead to many meaningful moments of significance, achievement, and well-being. This book offers a sure and certain pathway to transformation that lasts. To purchase Tears of Joy or any of Andrew's other books, go to andrewjobling.com.au.
Cam, love it, love it, love it, love it. Beautiful start to this podcast. And really, we got straight into it and we're challenging people. And you asked me before we started recording, Andrew, what do you want to do? What's the main aim of the podcast? And I said, well, it's to challenge people's thinking. It's to help people live their best life. And the reality is, if we're not living our best life, we can't keep doing the same things with the same beliefs the same way and expect life to change. We've got to challenge our thinking. We've got to look at things. We've got to flip the narrative on things like awesome and humble. I love that. I think that's been a really powerful message to start this podcast. So thank you, mate. I appreciate that. So what I'd like to do is go back a little bit, go back a few years. We didn't even talk about what you're doing now. Before we go back into your story, tell us what you're doing right now. At the moment, you're doing a lot of stuff to really help many, many people. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
I travel the country speaking at corporations, colleges, and high schools and middle schools about resilience, gratitude, and the lessons that boxing taught me. There's so many things that boxing taught me that I didn't realize parallel in life so well. The idea of discipline was instilled in me because boxing has physical consequences.
Yep.
If I don't get up and run every morning this week, I'm going to get beat up and knocked out in front of a bunch of people. I get up.
Yep.
And if you play a sport, you have such an advantage at life, at the way you look at things. Because if you can wake up before you start your day to work out, once you're done with your sport, just starting your day is like you take off a weighted vest.
It's amazing. I'm up at 5 a.m. every day, Cam, and I know I'm exercising every morning and could not think of a better way to start a day. Know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you do a bit of comedy as well. You tie the comedy into your presentations, or is comedy something you do separately as well?
So the reason why I got into boxing, funny enough, was I wanted my own TV show. I didn't know how to get one, but I knew if I became famous, I would get one. So I thought if I go to the Olympics, I would do a funny interview and I end up having a TV show or something. It didn't work out like that. So when I won my first national championship in 2008, they asked you questions when you fill out this interview. Height, weight, hometown, reach. Last question was, what do you want from boxing? Most people put heavyweight championship, Olympic medal, millions of dollars. I put to be a good role model and to be a actor. To prove that I said this, they never corrected my grammar. And it says a actor. It should be an actor. But my goal was, when I first started boxing, was to get famous from boxing just so I can have my own TV show and be a performer.
Yeah.
In 2012, when I got suspended, I lost boxing. And the reason why I started this was to be a performer. So I started doing stand-up comedy. So I mesh stand-up comedy into my speeches, but I also do stand-up comedy at nightclubs as well.
I think that's awesome, mate. That was a devastating blow in your life when you were kicked out of boxing, suspended from boxing. But to be able to take it and use humor around it, I think it's a really healing thing to do, isn't it? To be able to learn to laugh at it and go, it's not that big a deal. At the end of the day, it's just something that I did for a period of time, but now this is something else that I'm doing for now. So I think it's good to have humor. As long, the caveat there is that I think a lot of people use this self-deprecating humor all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, and it can become self-talk for us, can't it? If we keep joking about how dumb we are or how this we are or how that we are, we're actually
still. Oh, here's another one. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
How much we hate people. There's so many memes, and being alone or being a loner has become a personality type.
Yeah.
And there's so many memes about it. But the ironic thing is, if you really wanted to be alone, you wouldn't be posting about it.
Yeah.
The reason why you're online is for connection principles. And I think people speak themselves into anxiety, into not wanting to leave their houses, into thinking they're only comfortable at home.
100%. We talk ourselves into every situation. And the great news then is we can also talk ourselves out of every situation as well.
I love that. You can talk your way out of a situation. It takes 3 or 4 consecutive bad decisions to be a loser. But it only takes 3 or 4 consecutive good decisions to be a winner.
Well, I actually think, and I'm sorry, I'm going to challenge you now, Cam. I reckon it only takes 1 decision to be a winner, and that's a decision to change, and that's a decision to not accept this situation. I think we can make a decision right now that if we've made 3 or 4 bad decisions, that's the last bad decision I make. And if that decision to not make another bad decision is the only decision you make, well, then I think that makes you a winner. Anyway.
I love that.
So, mate,
I love that.
You say you wanted to be on TV and wanted to be famous. Well, you did end up on a Netflix documentary called Counterpunch. That gave you a lot of notoriety and brought you even higher, I guess, in the public eye, or not?
Yeah. So, but the thing is, I wanted to be famous so I could get a TV show. I didn't necessarily want to be famous. I just didn't know how else to get a TV show. But I wanted to be a performer and do comedy. But the Netflix documentary Counterpunch, that was a real cool experience. They followed me for about 3 years on and off and kind of documented my story from returning to boxing after my suspension to qualifying for the Olympic trials and winning the Olympic trials and going off at the end of the documentary. Spoiler alert, Andrew, I do not die at the end.
Well, that's a documentary, mate, because if you did die at the end, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Oh, this would be exclusive content, if so.
Exactly. This is Cam F. Awesome. That would be awesome, mate, if we could just harness the spirit of Cam and have this conversation.
I'm trying to spread enough awesome into the world to where there'll be enough when I'm gone to keep going.
Mate, I think you've already done that. Don't you worry. Cam, now let's go back. I want to go back to the start of this boxing journey for you. Your motivation to start boxing, was it to be an actor?
No, it was actually to lose weight to get a prom date.
Okay, good. Let's go back.
So I went for the fitness part of it, just to do the workout and the fitness.
Yeah.
And I lost so much weight that the coach said, hey, Cam, you're in better shape than all the other boxers. Do you want to get in the ring and spar? And I was like, oh, I don't think my mom's going to let me. And everyone laughed. I was like, I'm joking. I'll get my
mouthpiece. You weren't joking, were you?
I was not joking. I had my first 4 fights. I had my first four fights without telling my mom I was fighting.
And then what happened when you told her?
They didn't necessarily like it.
Did she slap you around harder than those first 4 fights?
No, but she never watched one of my fights. She says that no one should be able to hit me but other than her.
Love it.
Yeah.
So how old were you at that stage?
I was 16. 16. And when I started to spar, I was so afraid to get hit the first time I sparred that I only adopted defense. It's the only thing I cared about. I didn't care about hitting you. I just didn't want to get hit. And that made me want to spar with smaller guys. I would spar with tiny guys, children. Just I wanted them to throw punches at me so I can work on defense because they couldn't hurt me. And I realized when I fought guys bigger than me, they could barely hit me because I had really good defense. And if you can't hit me, you can't win. Right?
Right.
So my plan is after I had my first three fights, I knew I could be the best boxer in the country.
Yeah.
Just because I understood how the point system works. Most people, because I fought big guys, heavyweight, they only care about knocking people out. And if you weren't afraid, if you didn't let your fear get in the way and you understood, you believed in your actual skill and ability, I knew I could out jab any of those guys because they have short arms. I knew I could win. And if I knew I could do that, I was never afraid to fight them. And when someone's not afraid to fight you, that's intimidating itself. After I won my first national championship, that was 2 years into boxing. And I never made a sport before. I never made a team. I'm not very athletic. I just figured out scoring system. And I figured from the best boxer in the country, I can go to the Olympics. It's not that hard. Ended up being harder than I thought it was going to be.
However, and this is an important point too, Cam, the fact that you didn't think it was going to be hard meant that you had no problem just going for it because you thought, well, I'll get there, no problem. If you had been thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be so hard to make it to the Olympics, again, this is where the self-talk comes in. It's going to be hard. Can I do it? Am I good enough? But knowing or even believing that it won't be hard meant you just dived straight into it. The fact that it was hard, it probably didn't matter that much because you'd already set your mind on being an Olympian.
What you said was very important. Your inner dialogue, what you say to yourself. You can't start a habit today. Habits take a long time to build. The same goes for your internal self-talk. When I walked to the gym every day and I was saying positive things about myself all of the time, that accumulated after a while. The same goes for speaking, like having a difficult task in front of you. If you question, when that task is presented in front of you, if you question yourself off the bat, you're already in a deficit because now you have to convince yourself that you can possibly maybe pull this off.
Yeah.
So that's why I have a different philosophy in life. I believe goals are like a lighthouse. I believe you should set goals uncontrollably big. Set goals so big that you have to fail. The reason why is because a lot of us suffer from perfectionism. We're afraid to get things wrong. We're afraid to fail. So we don't get started.
Yeah.
But if you set your goal so ridiculous that you're going to fail, so the pressure's gone, you at least get started.
And you go further than you would have gone had you not set the goal that high.
One of my favorite quotes is the heaviest weight in the gym is the front door.
Love it.
That first step is the hardest.
Yeah.
Now, if you believe in yourself off the bat because you haven't been humble, your internal dialogue is that you can do. If someone can do something, why can't I? Now, some people, I'm looking at a different way of being humble because my job is a communicator. And I want to communicate this humble idea with a breaking the habit. But the idea of being humble is to think, hey, I'm not better than anyone. But Andrew, if that's a thought, because people say that about being humble, but that's not what anyone actually believes.
Yeah.
You think Michael Jordan's better than you at basketball. Don't you?
I would have to say yes.
So you do believe someone, or in any term way, you do believe there are people out there who are better than you. If someone presents you with a task, you say, oh, I could never do that. But if somebody else could do it, if someone else could climb that mountain, why couldn't you?
100%. Yeah.
So even in the other sense of being humble means that you can accomplish something that anyone else can.
Yeah. Cam, that really resonates with me because I remember when I made a decision to write my first book, and I'm an athlete too. I played Australian football and wasn't a reader, wasn't a writer, had no skills, no background, no qualifications. And I decided to write a book. And that
Other than that, you were sure.
Exactly. This is how my dialogue went. I don't know if I can. There's nothing to prove that I can't. So I didn't necessarily believe I could do it, but I just didn't know that I couldn't do it. Therefore, I knew there must be a way. That was a little slightly backward way of having belief. But when you've got no experience or nothing in your history that would suggest being an author is something you could do. But again, as you've said, look, other people have done it and I'm a communicator. I can talk, therefore I must be able to write. And therefore, if I just get started and keep going, surely I can do it. And no one can give me evidence to prove that I cannot be a successful author. Then I'm going to have a crack at it.
Action makes you a genius. There are so many super capable people who never take that first step or fulfill their potential because of the fact that they're too smart.
Yeah.
And they've calculated that the fact that they might fail.
Yep. That perfectionism again.
One of my benefits, Andrew, I'm not too smart. I might not be the smart because I'm not aware of the statistics of me failing. No. I think I might get it.
Exactly.
I just need 51% odds in my favor. And I'm 100% in.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to half win. There's no such thing as half winning. Either you go or you don't. Open the door or don't open the door. If I know I'm at 51%, I go 100% in.
That's awesome.
I'm not afraid to look stupid when I fail.
Nah, good on you, mate. So many amazing lessons and messages in this conversation. But I do want to ask you a question. Obviously, when you got suspended from boxing, that was probably the biggest blow in your sporting life. Tell us about some of the other challenges you faced as a boxer. Because you said you got it pretty easily. You weren't scared. You believed you could win. Tell us something that maybe have happened to you in your boxing career that set you back on your butt.
So 2016, after 2012, I put everything into boxing, but I also started doing comedy. I started speaking at schools and I put everything together for this 2016 Olympic run and I win the Olympic trials and then I lose an international competition and don't get to go to Rio. I lost on July 4th, which is the Independence Day here in the States. And I made a post on social media and I said, I'm going to reinvent myself and see what's next for me. It may not be boxing. And then I got back to the state. I didn't know what to do. I was so embarrassed because everyone thought I was going to the Olympics. Like the story was already written.
Yeah.
I bounced back from 2012. I won the Olympic trials. I'm on the way.
Yeah.
And I fall short. I was so embarrassed to be back home. And I needed to get out of here. And I totaled my Prius. So I bought a van. And I just lived out of my van for a few years. Just like speaking at schools and traveling while I was still training for the Olympics. I did it because I understood the importance of having a backup plan after sports. And in 2012, when I lost, I didn't have a backup plan. I had nothing. I had to return to boxing. 2016, when I lost, I had already started doing comedy, already started doing speaking. I already built a runway for myself to take off.
Yeah.
By 2017, I realized no one cares if I'm the former number one boxing heavyweight in the country. The doors that boxing once opened closed once I was retired. So I had to return to boxing and reopen those doors to get access because I realized if I won nationals, I'll get to be on national TV. And that's way better advertising than I can ever afford for my business. So I just went around, returned to boxing, and just kept winning nationals again just for the business. And in 2020, I decided to go back to the Olympics. So I wanted to sign up for Team USA, but they wouldn't let me because I started my speaking business and it's an amateur sport. So I flew to my dad's home country of Trinidad and Tobago, got dual citizenship, fought in the Olympic trials, won by knockout, and returned to the US to train for the games. And then the pandemic happened and I didn't get to go.
Wow. Life is just full of ups and downs, isn't it? Highs and lows. And just when you think you're on top, something happens to pull the rug out from underneath you.
Yeah, it happens over and over. But the thing is, my goal was so ridiculously big. I went from somebody who never made sport, never made a team. I'm not athletic. My goal was the Olympics. Think about how many of us set goals that are small because we want to gain momentum. Because we're afraid to fail. We're afraid to look stupid. So, and I realized that a lot of us who are afraid to look stupid, when we think about it, our insecurities are what we think about the most. When you look at another person, what you notice on them is what you're most insecure about on yourself.
Yep.
So if you're afraid to fail because you're afraid of what other people may think, you need to ask yourself, what do you think when you see other people fail?
True. That is a good one. What we might do is just hold that thought because I think defining failure is a big one.
if you never stop to define what a loser is, how can you stop yourself from becoming one?
Absolutely. Love that. Mate, let's have a quick break and we'll be back.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Cam F. Awesome. I hope you're enjoying this episode. Just want to give you a quick reminder that I am a professional speaker. I lead professional development workshops helping create better multicultural communicators. I speak on resilience, positivity, and gratitude. You can find more information about my keynotes at www.camfawesome.com. Now back to the episode.
Cam, my mind is just filled with stuff. You just bombarded me, belted me around the ring with so much good content, good information, good stories. But I think that last thing we finished at the end of that last session is a critical one, isn't it? Failure is, and again, this is trying to flip the narrative on certain words. Like, you've flipped the narrative on humility and humble. I think we need to flip the narrative on failure too, because failure is perceived to be a bad thing. So is it a bad thing? Because people say, oh yeah, I tried and I failed, thinking again, like they're a loser. If someone says to you, yeah, but I tried, but I failed, obviously you can see that they feel like they've lost or they're a loser or they're not good enough. How do you respond to that?
So my big thing, and one of the lines I live by, is if you can fail without being discouraged, success is inevitable. Because the idea is, if you can do something, whatever it is, whatever you're interested in doing, if you do it and you fail and you're pouty about it, you're pissed off, you're mad at yourself, you beat yourself up, you're less likely to do it again. But let's say that you fail and you're like, oh, I'm gonna try that again. Then you fail again. Oh, I'm going to try that again. Let's say you're a boxer, Andrew, and let's say you lose your first 7 fights. You now have the experience of 7 fights. You might not have a winning record, but you have the experience of 7 fights. You have the knowledge of what it's like to be in the ring 7 times. Yep. And the thing is, I see that as a win in itself.
100%.
Now, you could take that away from boxing. You could say, oh, well, I tried for the bar. I bet you know a lot more about the law than the average person. And that can benefit you in life in some other way. And you don't know what that is now. So to show what you don't know, what something can turn out to be, when I went on my first speaking tours, 2017, I totaled my Prius. And I have a video after, and I took a video because I realized it's going to be a crucial moment. I said, the best thing that's ever happened to me has been after terrible things. Let's see what this turns out to be. And because I totaled that car, I got a rental car. Because I got a rental car, I made it to San Diego. In San Diego, I was having lunch with a friend who basically told me that I could live in a van. I never considered living in a van before. And because of that, I had the idea of moving into a van. I lived in a van for years, traveling around the country, building my speaking business, becoming who I am. Now, if I would have totaled that car and been pissed off, because I was on a 51-day road trip, Andrew. I totaled my car 3 hours into it. I was closer to home. I could have just said, I'm done.
Over. Can't go anywhere. I'm finished.
I could have said, the universe is giving me a sign. That's what I could have said. Because that's the way I decided to look at it. But I said, let's see what happens. Because some people call it foolish to be optimistic, but I'd rather be a fool than to see gloom.
I'm with you. So it's interesting, Cam. So I think we can redefine failure, and there's other words we can use. Clearly, that story represents opportunity. So is it failure or is it opportunity? You talked about you had 7 fights and lost all 7. Well, that's learning. There's lessons there. There's experience there. I know for me, similar story. I went almost 2 years between my first senior professional game of football to my second, almost 2 years. I missed selection week after week after week. And it would have been so easy to say, well, I'm failing, or do I just need to get better? So what's the lesson? What's the opportunity? What's the gift that comes in adversity? Everything that happens to us happens for us.
You also said something in there that not enough people touch on. Was I good enough? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves that question. Maybe you didn't get that job because you weren't good enough. maybe got passed over that promotion because you were late a little bit too many times. Maybe you didn't get picked on that team because you skipped a little bit too many practices.
Yep.
Are you holding up your end of the bargain?
100%.
So many of us, I heard adults, they say, I'm a grown man. Can't nobody tell me what to do. You're right. And that's why a lot of adults plateau when they leave school, whether that be high school or college, they plateau in life because their teachers are no longer telling them, hey, you need to get this done. Their parents no longer tell them, hey, you need to get this done. And when you're an adult, no one's going to tell you. So how are you going to ever get better? The way you improve is by understanding you have to change. But if no one can tell you to change, how do you improve? Who can tell you that you're not good enough in your life? Think about it right now. If you're listening to this, if you're messing up in life, who in your life can stop and say, hey, Andrew, this is not looking good. You're drinking too much. Andrew, you're not eating healthy enough. Andrew, you're skipping the gym too much. Andrew, is this what you want to spend your time doing? Not a lot of us have that people in our lives. So we get thinking like, oh, I get passed up on this opportunity because they don't like me or it's because of this or that. Sometimes, yes.
Mostly, no. Mostly, it's something that we're doing or not doing or thinking or reacting or behaving or whatever. And I think the second we can stop looking outside of ourselves to pass responsibility or blame, and we can look directly at ourselves and say, okay, what do I need to do to change this? That's when things change. So if we just start going, okay, what am I doing? How can I be better? And change is scary. There's no doubt about it. We all want the result of change. We just don't like going through the process.
Bro, you know what's scarier than change?
Staying the same.
Bro, that's terrifying to me.
That is. Me too. So, Cam, this has been such an amazing conversation. When you go in and talk to teenagers, what would be one thing you want to leave knowing that they believe in their heart?
They can. And the thing is, like, it's easy to say that you can, but you can't just say it once. You have to do it repetitively. One thing I would leave every student with, and I try to leave every student with, is the idea of gratitude. Every morning before I look at my phone, I open up my notebook and I write a list of 10 things I'm grateful for.
So everyone, because this is an audio podcast, so Cam is holding up his notebook now, and yeah. I can confirm that he writes every day the 10 things he's grateful for, which I think is a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah. And, I never repeat anything on this list. Every morning I write, I am grateful for fill in the blank. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. I never repeat anything on this list. After 30 days, I have 300 reasons why I should wake up on day number 31.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The idea of gratitude is if you can fail without being discouraged, success becomes inevitable. The greatest way to stop yourself from being discouraged is by being grateful. And if you can practice gratitude every single day, you'll start to find gratitude everywhere in your life.
100%. And something that happens that immediately you can't see, but just know you'll be grateful for this situation at some point.
Yes.
That relationship breakdown, the money you lost, the job you lost, the team you weren't selected for, whatever it is, there will be a time at some point in the future where you will be grateful for this moment. So just expect it. Be grateful now in advance.
Yep.
Cam, how do people find you? How do they reach out to you and contact you if they want to get you to speak or talk to you or chat with you or just get some of your amazing inspiration?
Yeah, at Cam F. Awesome, CamFAwesome, and CamFAwesome.com.
Wonderful. Cam, thank you so much for this conversation. It's been incredible. I really value you've done, everything you've achieved, but now what you're doing to inspire and help people. And thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you.
Fantastic conversation that was with Cam, and he is awesome. Love that. Didn't you love the story of how that came about? Because he's awesome, and he wants to believe in himself. And the power of our words, the power of our self-talk is absolutely critical. In fact, the only thing that matters in terms of you living your very, very best life, it's all about what you believe and how you interpret and define words like humility, awesome, failure, success. When you can flip the narrative on certain words and you can flip it for your benefit to find gratitude, then anything is possible. So wonderful conversation with Cam. If you'd like to reach out to him, you can do that. Just go to his website, camfawesome.com, and find out more about him, reach out to him, and he's doing incredible stuff. So he's definitely someone worth following and reaching out to. thanks for being with me again this week. Another wonderful week, another awesome week. Hope you'll be back with me next week. Hope you will share this podcast with everyone who you love and care about. And I will definitely be here to hang out with you in 7 days. My name's Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.